Up next, Luna talks with Anna Paulina Luna, part of the Gingrich 360 Network.
On September 11th, 2001, Islamist radicals carried out the deadliest terrorist attack in human history, murdering nearly 3,000 people on U.S. soil. America was changed forever. 20 years later to the week, it's our duty to remember what happened on that fateful day, to keep the stories of heroes and loved ones alive. We must never forget. This is Luna Talks with Anna Paulina. Welcome back to this episode of Luna Talks with me, your host, Anna Paulina Luna. As you know, over the last couple of weeks, I've really been covering some trending news stories, and I'm not going to dip you guys out of that today, but I am going to be focusing a large portion of this episode on 9/11, because as you know, we are transitioning into now not just a holiday weekend like the others, but a remembrance weekend for those that died during the terrorist attacks of 9/11, and also to for a large portion of our population and my generation that has really been impacted by those events. So before we get into some of the crazy news cycle stories that have come out, which is honestly, they're going to be bizarre when I read them to you. I really did want to just focus on that. You know, there is not one person that I've yet to meet that doesn't know where they were at on 9/11 from my generation. And I realized that it's not just me, but also the older generation as well. In fact, when I joined the military, a majority of us joined and enlisted because we remember exactly what happened on 9/11. We remember where we were at, who we were with, what we were wearing. But also too, I remember talking to some of my sergeants or even some of my officers, and I remember them saying, yeah, I went to the recruiter's office literally the day that the World Trade Centers fell, and I enlisted right then and there. And in Andy's case, who's my husband, some of his teammates had actually already been in the military, and the day after the Twin Towers fell, they were deployed to the Middle East. And for a majority of us, especially these last couple of weeks, it's been, I think, a new chapter in our country's history where you had a 20-year war that I grew up in, that those before me grew up in. And then we realized at a certain point that it was too much and too long and we should no longer be there. And I think that was the point when I saw, you know, my little neighbor kid that I had watched growing up from the time he was a little boy enlist and realized that he was deploying to the Middle East. And at that point, I think the entire nation is like, why are we still here? And of course, now with everything that's happened in Afghanistan, some are still questioning, you know, why did we go there in the first place? But the point of what I'm trying to say is that the day after 9/11, if you guys all remember, everyone was showing so much support for the families, so much incredible support for the fire departments, the FDNY, I think that's when it became basically famous, and then also to so much support for all the law enforcement officers and the emergency crews that were there working countless hours through the night, digging through all of that rubble to basically rescue or to find loved ones that had basically been missing after the fall of the World Trade Centers. And I remember that. I remember seeing that. I remember the celebrity telefundraisers on TV where they're basically going and raising money for all of the families of those that had perished and basically the families of the emergency workers and the fire department and the law enforcement that had died in the collapse of the towers. And then you saw these figures really arise and I think guide America at a time that we really needed it. One of them being primarily Mayor Rudy Giuliani, the mayor, the America's mayor of New York City. Also too, Donald Trump, who at the time was not a president, but he was a businessman, a mogul that went there to show his support for his city. These were all very, very impactful times in our country's history. And now when we merge to seeing the political climate today, and when we see those statements by, you know, Ilhan Omar saying some people did something when she's talking about, you know, the terrorist attack of 9/11, and you realize that the divide that has happened in this country, how do you fix it? And I tell everyone, you know, if you can this weekend, take some time with your friends and family and turn off the TV, disconnect from social media, from the internet, and actually sit there and talk about it and keep those memories alive. Because the day after 9/11, for as awful as it was, the level of patriotism and unified feeling that we had in this country is something that I hope we can eventually one day get back to. I just don't know if it's ever going to happen in my lifetime with the way that the media is going. 9/11 happened, and there were a lot of people that were forever changed from that day forward. I know that my family directly had ties to that. My husband's father had worked in the city. He was there when the World Trade Centers fell. And he describes what it was like to actually leave that city and how he literally saw a woman get trampled and he tried to help her, but he couldn't because there was a sea of people just stampeding, running away from the crashing towers. And shortly thereafter, I mean, he didn't go back into the city anymore after that. And so many people within my husband's community, which was in New Jersey, so many of them lost family members or friends that were working in the World Trade Center. So it didn't just impact a small portion of this country. There were many people or people that knew people that had a loved one or a friend in the World Trade Centers that day. And as we later on found out, that wasn't the only incident. They attacked the Pentagon, and then there was the failed attempt at United Flight 93, where citizens stood up, they took down the terrorists, and ultimately it ended up costing their lives, but they did the right thing and they saved Americans in the process. So when you see all this craziness on television and you hear this just nonsense about defunding the police, I mean, realize what that's impacting. And when you see that, just remember that there were good people that died on this day. They died because they loved this country. They died because they wanted to help others, help other Americans. And when push comes to shove, regardless of our political ideologies, for the most of Americans, we are going to have each other's back. It's like we can pick on one another, but we won't let anyone else pick on us. And I think that that's really kind of the sibling rivalry on steroids that we're witnessing currently in this country. Now, I'm not going to say that everyone has the best intentions, but I'd say for 99.9% of Americans, I think that, you know, if the media was cleared up, there's a lot that we could clear amongst ourselves and not so much would be lost in translation. So I wanted to give you guys just that quick positive intro before we get into some of these wacko headlines that I've seen over the last couple of days. Sit tight. We'll be right back after this quick break. All right, so I promised some bizarre headlines, and I think that you're going to hear this and probably be like, yeah, she was right, and I'm definitely not someone that tends to exaggerate. So the first headline, obviously, I had covered abortion in the last episode. This headline, when I saw it, I thought that it was something out of the Babylon Bee. I thought it was fake, and then I realized to my horror that it is actually true, and this is in regards to the Texas heartbeat bill. That basically the Church of Satan, so the Satanic Temple, claims that the Texas Heartbeat Bill restricts religious liberty and deems abortion a child sacrifice ritual. That is not something that's a conspiracy theory. That is legitimately a headline. It was posted by Freedom Fights Online, but not just Freedom Fights. Okay, this was also a headline that was on Breitbart and many different news sources. And the minute that this hit, I think the internet, many people, you could just tell, not only did it make them sick to their stomach, but then it also really freaked them out. And I know that some people like Halloween, I am not one of them. Anything that, you know, this includes, I think is just totally creepy. But then it goes further into state on their website, what is a satanic abortion ritual? And I'm going to read this to you because this is legitimately the argument that's being put forth in Texas as to why they are saying that Texas's heartbeat bill is apparently quote unquote unconstitutional. So on the website, and this was actually posted on Jack Posobiec's Twitter, it says, the satanic abortion ritual provides spiritual comfort and affirms bodily autonomy, self-worth, and freedom from coercive forces with the affirmation of TST7 tenets. I have no idea what that is. The ritual is not intended to convince a person to have an abortion. Instead, it sanctifies the abortion process by instilling confidence and protecting bodily rights when undergoing the safe and scientific procedure. So they are making a case saying that it is totally a ritual sacrifice that's done scientifically and someone's constitutional rights. And then they go forward and literally give out a play-by-play how they're supposed to go forward with this ritual for surgical abortions. And it's completely, I mean, guys, I can't even read through this without getting goosebumps. It's completely disgusting. It is gross that this is where society has really come to, that they are allowing child sacrifice is what they're basically talking about, as if it's supposed to be common practice. So just read what they write. So prior to receiving anesthetic or sedation, look at your reflection to be reminded of your personhood and your responsibility to yourself. Focus on your intent, take deep breaths, and make yourself comfortable. When you are ready, say the third tenet and the fifth tenet aloud. You may now undergo surgery. After the surgery is complete, mind you, this surgery, guys, they're talking about abortion. After this surgery is complete and any anesthetic has worn off, return to your reflection and recite your personal affirmation. Feel doubts dissipating and your confidence growing as you have just undertaken a decision that affirms your autonomy and free will. The religious abortion ritual is now complete. You can't make this up, guys, even if I tried. It is that disturbing. It is that gross. And the fact is that if you find yourself ever aligning with the Church of Satan on anything, I think that you seriously need to do some self-reflection. This, the fact that it is now a common topic of discussion, and now you have it infiltrating, I think, laws that should be, and I stated this on the last episode, should be scientific-based, but that they are citing this type of gross sacrifice is just something that we should consider outlawing altogether in the United States. And it wouldn't be a sacrifice. If you guys actually read the definition of what sacrifice means, according to the Oxford Languages Dictionary, it means an act of slaughtering an animal or person or surrendering a possession as an offering to God or to a divine and supernatural figure. Or in the verb tense, offer or kill as religious sacrifice. So literally they're saying that this is life, which is what every single Christian and every single person with a brain says, is that any child within the womb constitutes life, hence why Texas is doing the heartbeat bill. And yet they are saying that that is their constitutional right to kill, which is in this case murdering, for a sacrifice due to their disgusting and bizarre religion. At a certain point, though, I do think that the American people and that honestly the people of Texas need to come out against this because, again, going back to how just bizarre this is, you have a religion that's literally glorifying the murder of children and saying very, very flagrantly that they can do it and that they don't care that that's their religious freedom and opportunity to be able to do so. However, you look at the context of which they've literally admitted in their own statements that this is life and essentially it's supposed to be legal and sanctioned killing, which is completely wrong. That's not really what I believe the founders had in mind when they said religious freedom. And when you look at some of the darker energies there, I think that it's just as Christians especially, you really need to take a stand against this, make it known, freak your friends out, show them the headlines, because honestly, this is just one of the most bizarre headlines I've actually been able to come across over the last, I'd say probably year and a half. It's that weird. So to segue into really Texas again, though, and what they announced just on September 7th, which is pretty incredible, this just happened. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has signed SB 1 into law, which Democrats fled the state in order to try to stop. For those wondering what SB 1 is, that is the election integrity law. Okay, that is something that is going to make sure that only American citizens that are registered to vote can cast ballots. And that is not racist, it's not discriminatory. As you know, the left likes to say, it is strictly by the rules voting, which is something that the rest of the country should be considering doing because of the fact that we need to make sure if we want to hold our constitutional republic, if we want to ensure that we stay a strong country, we have to have secure elections. And I think that that comes at incredible timing. I can tell you that the 2022 election cycle, which I will give you guys some little Easter egg knowledge nuggets here right after this next commercial break. But this next 2022 election cycle is going to be something that there are some people that are saying we are going to pick up 55 Republican seats. That has literally been an estimated number. But it is going to stop a lot of the, I think, legislative terrorism that we're seeing out of Washington, D.C. And I mean that. The rules that they are passing, the amount of inflation that this country is seeing and the amount of deficit that we are currently in is going to destroy the American dollar. So I want to get back with that information nugget for you right after this quick break. All right. So as promised, the information nuggets. I do not think it is by mistake that Governor Abbott signed the bill that he did. And I do know for a fact that in addition to Texas, Florida, has three seats in particular for the congressional cycle in 2022 that will be targeted to take back the House. And I can also tell you that if just in Texas and Florida alone, if we can do our jobs and we can take these seats back, we will take back not just the House, but essentially take back control of the greatest world superpower that this world has ever seen. It is very important, especially because of everything happening with Biden. And I mean, I've said this before, but just wait until China attacks Taiwan. I think that that's going to happen. And the entire country is essentially walking on eggshells. We do not want to get into another global war, especially not one with China currently, because we have weak and awful leadership. But I can tell you that it is very important. I think it's important for generations to come that we take back the House, that we take back the Senate. We have Herschel Walker, who I've talked about on previous episodes, but he recently just announced that he's actually running for Senate in Georgia. And he was absolutely the candidate that they should have run. He's incredible. He's dynamic. He's relatable. He has an incredible story. He's a football legend. He has a ton of name ID. And honestly, he has the type of humble personality that the American people want. No one ever wants someone who's not had life experience, who's basically had everything handed to them, passing legislation and bills in Washington, D.C. And no one wants someone who's engaged in insider trading. That's just the facts. The American people don't want that. So I can tell you that he's an incredible candidate. And I do think that we will take back the House. And I do believe that we will take back the Senate. And if that happens, and we have these bills take place like SB1, and we have Florida here where Governor DeSantis has done an incredible job to actually make our own elections secure. You know, in the past, we weren't always so great. We had a huge issue with Broward County, but DeSantis cleaned that right up. Because of that, we have some of the best elections. But I can tell you that if that happens, then we will for sure see President Trump run for office again in 2024. And I know so many people, especially people that, you know, aren't necessarily following politics 24/7, so many people have been wondering, is he going to do it again? And I'm here to tell you, I absolutely 100% without a doubt believe that this man is going to run for office again. And I also believe that it is definitely part of our responsibility to ensure that that happens. And that means that it is an all hands on deck effort for the next election cycle, meaning that if you are out of state, that means that you can honestly do phone banking for one of your favorite candidates in different states. That means you guys can send money. That means you guys can do door knocking. And even in California, I mean, we have Larry Elder, who literally is probably going to be taking over Gavin Newsom. He's going to do it, guys. We need people to the polls. I can tell you that they're definitely afraid of him because he's been getting so much bad press. It's like every headline from the mainstream media about Larry Elder is negative press. That's how you know that they're intimidated by him. And that's how you know that he genuinely might stand the chance of actually flipping California red, which I have not seen since I was a child. Okay. Remember, I grew up in California. I was around during one of the last Republican governors. And oh boy, how has it changed over the last 20 and 30 years? It is nowhere near what it used to be. And it's honestly a shame because California has some amazing people. But those laws, they crushed small business during the COVID lockdowns. They destroyed permanently people's families, people's homes, people's livelihoods, and their businesses. So we have a chance. It's all positive. It's all good from here. I hope you guys have an incredible weekend. Remember what I said. If you can, take some minutes with your families this weekend, unplug from everything. Tell them the stories of where you were at on 9/11. Keep those stories alive and make sure that you share them because really at the end of the day, our lives are so short and those are the memories that we want to keep alive, especially within our families. So have an incredible weekend. I hope to talk to you guys soon and make sure you guys come back this Sunday for our fresh new episode of Luna Talks and we'll see you then. Before we go, I want to thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, please leave us a review and rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. To hear more of my episodes and get my weekly newsletter, go to Gingrich360.com/Anna. You can also find me on Twitter, Parler, Facebook, Instagram, and Getter at Real Anna Paulina. And a special thank you to producer Drew Steele, writer Aaron Kligman, and executive producers Debbie Myers and speaker Newt Gingrich, part of the Gingrich 360 Network.